Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we are ready to go. And I cannot tell you how excited I am to teach this Gemara to you tonight. This Gemara has been driving me meshuggah for 40 years. And I never got a straight answer. And eventually, I just stopped asking this question because nobody gave me an answer anyway. When I was a kid, and I first learned this Gemara, and then I learned about it in Haggadah. And then I'm like, well, what is kafa? What is kafa? I'm like, okay, I'm scared. First they scream at you when you're a kid, so I'm like some kind of dumbo. I don't know what's going on. And I got older, I said, it doesn't really make sense. So I started asking the questioning. I said, well, it was once upon a time there was such a thing. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, once upon a time. If the lettuce is just once upon a time lettuce, then how do we do the mitzvah with it today? Like how does that work? Because once upon a time there was something in the lettuce. The whole Seder is based on something of a once upon a time, which we don't know what that means. So I never got a good answer. Eventually I just stopped asking questions. But this year, I decided, okay, we're up to a piece of Gemara Charoses. I said, please, the Ribono Shel Olam, Almighty God, help me figure this out. Because I have to teach it to you. I can't snowball you. I have to make sense. And I'm thinking about this literally for 48 hours. And this afternoon, I'm driving back from a meeting, and suddenly I had an idea. And I came back to my office, and I consulted my friend Rabbi Google. And believe it or not, it checked out. It actually made, like, all the questions got answered. Everything got lined up. I'm like, wow. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I'm just saying. So, with no further ado, tonight we're going to be learning about poison control. You didn't want to go by there. Oh, you just did. Okay. You were just on candid camera. So what does poison control have to do with the night of Pesach? That sounds meshuggah, but actually, there's a lot to do with the night of Pesach. And before we begin to learn the Gemara at hand, which is the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph on page 116, side A, before we go there, I want to take you back to Daf Kuf Yud Dalad, page 114, which is just a couple of pages back. But I want to revisit a Mishnah that we learned a number of years ago. I'm pretty sure it's recorded. There's two Mishnayot on this folio side of the Gemara. And if you look at the second Mishnah, okay, so Daf Kuf Yud Dalad, page 114 of Masechet Pesachim, the Mishnah says that they took the table away and then they bring the table back. In today's day and age, we don't sit in the same kind of chairs and at the same kind of tables. But this is enacted today by taking the Seder plate and pushing it away and bringing it back. We still do this. Push it away, we bring it back. So they bring it back. Now, why are they taking it away and why are they bringing it back? You take a look at the Tosfos. There's a Tosfos that starts with the words Heviyu. The second Tosfos starts with the words Heviyu. It's the second to the last comment of Tosfos on that side of the page. And the Tosfos says, Lefi sha'akru es ha'shulchan lefnei mi sha'emer agada. They took the table, in our day and age, the Seder plate, away from the one who is chanting the Haggadah out loud. And why was this? V'akidus ha'shulchan. The taking away, the removal of the table upon which the proverbial bread, the matzah is kidei she yishal haben. We're trying to stimulate the children. We're trying to get them to ask questions. So we don't do silly things, but we do things which have some kind of meaning that are going to make the child say, why did you do that? We make kiddush. I said, okay, we make kiddush every week. We wash our hands, okay. And then we just took the table away. Why did we take that away? We didn't eat anything. Just get a little piece of something green and took the table away. So the child says, I don't know what's going on over here. And the father says, funny you should ask. There's a reason. And it's all about this night. It's different, and so on and so forth. Now, we dip the karpas the first time. By the way, this is the shita of Tosfos. You'll see that not everybody agrees with this shita. There is another shita. The Avud Aram brings in a different shita. But the shita of Tosfos is that the first time we dipped was in salt water, like what we do today, or vinegar. And so they have to bring him back things he needs for the second dipping. And so now we're bringing the table back. So what are we bringing back? Heviyu, the Mishnah says, lefanav matzah. We're bringing matzah. Why are we bringing matzah? Are we eating matzah now? No, we're not eating matzah. So why are we bringing the matzah now? Well, very simple. Because we are going to recite the Haggadah over the matzah. As we learned in some of the previous classes, matzah is called lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe. Matzah is the foodstuff, the edible prop, that we raise our voices and speak about over. So matzah is an actual visual aid. And the same thing is true with the chazeret. Chazeret, we're going to translate as romaine lettuce. This is the lettuce that we eat for the bitter herbs. And then it says, v'charoset, and charoset, shnei tafshilin, the two cooked items are used in order to commemorate the korbanot, the korban pesach, and the other korban, which we don't have present, because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash now. And the Mishnah says, kind of goes back to the charoset now. Afal pi, she'ein charoset mitzvah. Even though the charoset doesn't have a mitzvah purpose. So Rashi immediately says, well, if it doesn't have a purpose, why are we bringing it to the table if it's not there for a mitzvah? And as Rashi says, ulekamei parich, and later on we're going to ask the question, and that's the Gemara we're going to learn tonight. Ho'il v'lav mitzvah, since it's not a mitzvah, amai ma'isila. So why are we bringing it for? I mean, everything has to have a reason. So what's the purpose of bringing it? And Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, who writes commentary on the 10th chapter of Masechet Pesachim, known as Arvei Pesachim, which deals with the Seder night, makes a similar comment. Okay, so the Mishnah is very clear. Mishnah says, the charoset, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah, but make sure you bring it. So the obvious question is, why? What is the purpose of this charoset? Now the Mishnah is going to record another opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says it is a mitzvah. We'll deal with that next week. Next week we're going to deal with the part two of the charoset mystery. But now, as far as we know, we have this edible Seder cement. We're bringing it to the table. We don't know why. That's the background. Incidentally, just in case you're wondering, if we look in the Machzer Vitri, which was authored by Rabbeinu Simcha Vitri, a Talmud of Rashi, he says, Chol davar shetov lin bo koroi charoset. Anything which is what we would call in the vernacular a dip. You order a portion, you get things to dip in, like, you know, if you order yourself a tray of sushi today, you're going to have different kinds of dips. It comes with something to dip the sushi in. So anything which is a dip is called charoset. That's what charoset means. And the Machzer Vitri says further that we see over there, and over there he refers to Psachim Daf Lamed, Ubeit Charoset Kibeit Sa'or Shechimutso Kasha, that we're talking about things that have to be koshered for Pesach. So we talk about a receptacle of something that holds charoset. And charoset is tart. And charoset is sharp. And because it's sharp, it has a different level of koshering. Yes, so far? So far making sense. Now, by the way, if we go to the Gemara that we're referring to, that the Machzer Vitri is referred to, Rashi says, what's Beis Charoset? Beit Charoset means the house of the Charoset, that which houses the Charoset, what we would call today a bowl. He says, Kli shenotnim bo chometz, something that you put vinegar, or something which has a vinegar-like quality, something which is sharp or tart. V'chol dover sheyesh lo kiyuhi, anything which sets your teeth on edge, anything which has that quality, that kind of sharp or tart quality. V'regilin liten bo kemach, and you put a little bit of flour inside. And va'osu l'tabobay, and you dip in your sushi or your wontons, I don't know, whatever you dip when you like to dip the all year long. Chicken wings, there you go. V'hakemach mitchametz, and then the flour, which is not really flour, but it's a paste because it has some flour in it for consistency, like gravy, so then it becomes chametz. So machmat hakiyuhi, there's also an element of the tart element over there as well. V'lashon charoset, Rashi says, I'm reading to you from Rashi, Masechet Pesachim, Daf Lamed, Amud Beis, Lashon charoset, kiyuhi, vinegary, tart, sharp. Okay, that's the All right, very nice. So now we know what charoset is. What is charoset? Somebody say, so what's charoset? Charoset really is like a dip that has a sharp or tart kind of quality to it. Something which is vinegar-like. You know, the sweet and sour kind of thing? This is just the sour. The sour kind of taste. Something with a sour kind of taste. That's what charoset is. Okay. So now we know what charoset is. It's a dip that has a sour quality to it, a tart quality to it. And we have no idea why it's being brought to the Seder table. Well, what are you trying to flavor? It's usually, there's a condiment. People dip their chicken wings or their knish or their sushi, whatever else is like to dip it in, you know, the French fries and ketchup, because it flavors whatever they're eating. But we're not supposed to flavor the matzah tonight, because then we won't be tasting the matzah. And we're not supposed to flavor or sweeten the bitter herbs, because then what's the point of eating bitter herbs? Right? You can't have bitter herbs in ketchup. It doesn't work. Why not? Because ketchup is full of sugar, that's why. What would be the point of doing that? It would have to be something which is tart. But if it's bitter herbs, it's tart already. Take a Gemara here. No, you're good. You're already featured. Okay, now have a seat. You take a Gemara. Take. No, you're good. They can walk by. Sit. Wherever you want. Take your coat off. Leave your pants on. You know, like. Give him a Gemara. Seriously. Page 116. So the Gemara says. Now we're going to go from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yudal. We're going to go to the Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. The Gemara on page 116. The Gemara says like this. Let's go to 116. Where the fourth line from the top. The Gemara continues to analyze the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we have to bring this tart dip. Why are we bringing a tart dip? We don't know why. And the Mishnah made a point of telling us that it's not a mitzvah. It made a point of telling us it is not a mitzvah. Now, Yitzi is asking a very good question online. He wants to know if bringing the charoset and not matzah for use is for saying the Haggadah on it. So, that's a good question, Yitzi. If it's for saying the Haggadah on it, then it would have a mitzvah purpose. But the Mishnah said it has no mitzvah purpose. Now, what that mitzvah might be, I invite you to come to the next episode. The Gemara says, Tzarech L'Kiyu, doesn't that mean that it's an added element not inherent to being Charoset? No, it doesn't. On the contrary, that is not correct. We'll see that the Charoset, where it's clear that the Charoset has to be tart, but we see from Rashi, and we could see very clearly from the Machzor Vitri, that the Charoset inherently means tart. Like sweet and sour sauce is sweet and sour. What happens if my sweet and sour sauce isn't sweet and sour? We'll find a new Chinese restaurant. I don't know. They're not making good sauce. But so the Tzarech L'Kiyui means, and you'll see when the Gemara says Tzarech L'Kiyui, you see, the Gemara says you have to make sure that the charoset we're talking about is made tart. It has to be made tart. That's what we're talking about making the charoset. When you're making the charoset, ensure that it has a tart kind of acidic flavor to it. Why? We don't know yet. So the Gemara says, V'i lav mitzvah, kufta zayin omad aleph, four lines in the top, second word. V'i lav mitzvah. Okay, so if it's not a mitzvah, which means that it has no purpose here. I just want to tell you, by the way, when it says it's not a mitzvah, we know it's not a mitzvah. We know it's not a mitzvah. If we go to the book of mitzvahs, we're not going to find charoset. It's not listed. It's not the 614th mitzvah. It's not something called charoset. It's not like anybody thought we had a mitzvah called charoset, and now we discovered, oh, by the way, bring charoset, but it's not a mitzvah. That's not what it means. At least I don't think that's what it means. If you're not using the Gemara. Here, Marla, have a seat. Sit. Here, give Marla a Gemara. Here's a Gemara. Page 116. The meaning of mitzvah means that it's something that we do because it has an inherent purpose. What does a mitzvah accomplish? A mitzvah brings us closer to Hashem. Like there's an idea which is talked about in the Rishonim that is elaborated really almost ad infinitum in Chassidus, and that is that the mitzvah comes from the root word tzavtza v'chibur, that mitzvah means a connection. Mitzvahs are opportunities for us to become connected to Hashem. So whether we're doing something which is a custom, a minhag, or we're doing something which is a din, which is a rule, doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. You know, like when we learned the Rambam book of mitzvahs, talk about, so what is a mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah or is this not a mitzvah? We just learned today, one of the klalim, the second klal of the Rambam. If it's learned from the Shlesha Esrei Midas, Shatera Nedeshes, if it's learned from the 13 hermeneutical principles, it's not a mitzvah. What do you mean it's not a mitzvah? It's min ha-Torah. The Torah says you have to do this and don't do that. How do you know? How do you know? You use the methodology. God gave you the legend. He said, here's my Torah, here's the legend, figure it out. So it means it's not a mitzvah. It means it's not one of the proverbial 613. Is it something that we are supposed to do 100%? Is it something that's going to enhance our connection to Hashem? Certainly. Incidentally, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Tzadik says it is a mitzvah. So what, he's arguing if there's a 614th mitzvah called Charesis? Of course not. That's silly. That's not the meaning of mitzvah. The meaning is there something special we're supposed to do with this Charesis? Is it in some way part of the ritual of the Seder night? The Mishnah says no, it's not a mitzvah. And this is the question of the Gemara. So what in heaven is going on over here? If it's not a mitzvah, if it doesn't have a part of the Seder night, why are we bringing the table, which is like a whole ceremony on the Seder night? We took the table away. The child says, what? Why are we taking the table away? We didn't even eat yet. Ah, funny you should ask. Let me tell you a little bit about what's happening tonight. And now we bring the table back. Why are we bringing the table back? We're going to say matzah zu, and a lift of the matzah. This matzah. I heard that in some communities, they pass the matzah around if it's only one Seder, and everybody holds the matzah. You know what's amazing? We're making the matzah the same way. It's the same matzah. Same matzah. Round matzah, hand-baked, same matzah. People are looking for archaeological evidence. What do you want to find? Moshe Rabbeinu's boots? People making the same matzah year after year after year. Jews who live in Asia, and Jews who live in India, and Jews who live in Africa, and Jews who live in Northeastern Europe for centuries, for millennia separated. And they come together, and wow, you eat that too? Same matzah. Same matzah. Bigger matzah, small. Same matzah. It's unbelievable. And we pass around this matzah. You see this matzah? This what? Wow, kids, look at it. Unbelievable. This is like, that's a fantastic way to tell the story. This is not centuries. 3 millennia before somebody figured out that when you want to teach children something, you should have visual aids. And then we say murr. This is the murr. Murr. People pass the murr around. Kids hold the murr. This is murr. This is murr. We get hold it, see it, taste it. You do it with the charosas? Pass around the charosas. Everybody here, have a look at the charosas. You want to have some charosas? Yitzi's asking about zecher latit. Next class, my friend. That's the next opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik holds it is a mitzvah. But according to the Tanakhama, the first opinion of Mishnah, there's no mitzvah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand what's going on over here. If there's no mitzvah, it has no purpose. Mishum my maisila. What do you bring it here? Says the Gemara, Omar Rebami. Rebami said, you want to know why we bring the charoises? Says Rav Ami, we bring the charoises because mishum kafa. Because of kafa. Wow. We bring the charoises because of kafa. I wonder what kafa is. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we got Rashi, right? This is going to make everything very clear to us. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says mishum kafa. Sraf hachazeret. The sap of the romaine lettuce. Kosher. It's very hard. It's hard in the system. The yesh loy, yesh boy eres. It has in it, what is eres? You're from Israel. What's eres? Ral. What is that in English? Poison. Everybody knows that eres is poison. Romaine lettuce has poison? Why the heck are we eating poison? This sounds crazy. I mean, even if it's just sometimes having poison. Would you take a Tylenol if 1 out of 500 caplets is laced with cyanide? But that's just one. Very small percentage. It's called Russian roulette. Who wants to play a game? So the Chachamim told everybody, go ahead, eat romaine lettuce with some poison. But don't worry, it's okay. Most probably it won't hurt you. And anyway, the charesis will take care. What does that mean? So I couldn't figure this out. So I went to the English version. So you know, in the Steinsaltz version of Evan Yisrael, we reviewed everything very carefully. He says, "What does one bring it to the Seder?" Rav Ami said, "Due to the poison and the bitter herbs." All right, doesn't explain it, but okay, it's poison neutralized. I said, okay, let me see what Rabbi Art Scroll says. Art Scroll, what does he say? He says, because of Kafa. Doesn't explain. Go to number four. Sorry, go to number four. He says, the Kafa has an acrid element in the sap of the lettuce. Really? An acrid element. Not, you know, a Harvard graduate. I'm not so sure that people from Harvard know that much these days, but anyway. So, but I just, you could just Google it. And I Google acrid. Acrid, adjective, having an irritatingly strong or unpleasant taste or smell. Acrid fumes. So acrid is not poison. So why did you translate kafa, which Rashi, and he says, look in Rashi and Rashbam, that we're following Rashi and Rashbam, that there's an acrid element in the sap. No, it's not an acrid element in the sap. Rashi says there's a poison element in the sap. Now, I know why he translated it like that, why they translated it, because nobody knows what this is going. Nobody knows what this means. It sounds crazy. It actually sounds crazy. And I'm telling you, as a 13-year-old boy, I learned this Gemara. I said, this, what? Poison? Why are we eating poison ivy? He said, nah, poison. It's lettuce. I said, lettuce has poison? No, what? It's kafa. I said, what's kafa? What's kafa? Well, it's a, means a bug. We eat bugs? You know how to eat bugs. Bugs. That's why we're. Okay, fine. Yell at me, scream at me, I stop asking questions. I get older, so I don't understand this. So this is a cop-out. You forgive me. And this is a total cop-out. And it's you know, forget the Hebrew is the Hebrew. The English is just wrong. The word acrid does not mean poison. And eris means poison. Like I said, I know why they translated it, because this Gemara doesn't seem to make any sense. But the Gemara says that. Now, let's see what Rashbam says. Rashbam is printed underneath Rashi. And this is very interesting, because Rashbam, he's a little bit more elaborate. He adds sometimes a word, two words, above, a little more elaborate. Rashbam says, Sraf hachazeret kosher, kosher hu, it's harsh, it's hard. Vaharehu ke'eres. It's not poison, he says. It's like poison. It's still not acrid. Whatever, but perish that, that's baloney. It's not acrid. It's like poison. I'm like, wow. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. Rashi said it's poison, but Rashbam said, no, it's not. It's like poison.
Rashi says it's
acrid poison. Rashi says poison, eris. Eris is poison. You ask any Israeli nursery school child what eris is, they'll tell you. Tell you raul, which is modern Hebrew, whatever. Eris is poison. Rashi says eris. Yesh boy eres, Rashi says. So how did it move from a generation later, from Rashi to Rashbam? If Rashi, it had poison. By the time it got to Rashbam, it didn't have poison anymore. Now, harehu ki eres. It's poison-like.
Eres is not like more like venom.
Yeah, it's from animals.
Nagid bi'ivrit, eres is venom. Mm-hmm. Venom is poison, by the way.
Yeah.
Do not drink snake venom. It's not a good idea. So in Ivrit, you said Raal. Raal is what they call it. In Mishnah Hebrew, Eres is poison. So I'm like, first, this has to be understood. Every word is precise. Rashi says poison, and Rashbam is explaining Rashi, it's like poison. By the way, what's the difference between poison and like poison? Have a portion of poison. It's not mamish poison. It's like poison. What does it mean it's like poison? Does it kill you? Yeah, but it's like poison. What is poison like? What does poison like mean? Turn back a page. Turn to Dafkuf, look on the other side of the page. You have to turn back in the article. Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel is one of the great early expositors in the Talmud. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Kafa. He says, toila'as, it's a bug or a worm. How do we know that? He says, what do you mean? It's in a Tosefta. It says, the Tanya, we learn it in a Tosefta, the Truma, ha'oichal t'loyim, shebi ikre lones, ve'esakapo, shebi yedek. That we learned in a Tosefta of Trumais, somebody is eating the worms of the roots of the tree, and the kappa, which is in the vegetables. Chayev, if he eats those bugs, he's chayev. Chayev means he's violating the Torah because now he eats bugs. So, well, you're not allowed to eat bugs. And it's very clear that it's a bug because he calls it a kafa shabiyerek. So therefore, it's a bug. So how did Rabbeinu Hanano's bug turn into Rashi's poison? Which Rashbam's was poison-like. Bugs and poison are not the same. They're both unpleasant. One kills you. One makes you feel uncomfortable. Oh, one is prohibited by the Torah. One isn't. Maybe it is, actually, because you're not allowed to kill yourself. You're not allowed to harm yourself. What's going on over here? What does this mean? I'm racking my brains. It's not adding up for me. And if you think this is strange, wait till you see what's coming. Now the Gemara says like this. You're telling me it's Mishum Kofa? Omer Rabbi Asi. Kofa de Chasa. The kofa of, which we're going to say is maybe poison-like, maybe bugs, right? We don't know the kofa of chasa. So how do you deal with that? Choma. Reach for the radish. Kofa de chasa. Rashi says, Misha ochel chazeres. If somebody eats chazeres, v'chola, and he gets sick. Why did he get sick? Bishvila kafa, because he ate poison. Or he ate kafa. We don't know what that is. Yechel tznoin, eat radishes, and then v'yirpa, then you'll be all healed up. Ooh, this is good. So now you eat poison, and then you eat radish. And the radish will neutralize the poison. I'm glad we got poison control. I'm not making this up. This is the Gemara. Rashbam says, Mishach chazeres, v'chol b'shvil kafa, yechel tznoin v'yirpa. Same thing. So what happens now if you have kofa de chama? What happens if your radishes have poison in it? What happens if the poison neutralizer is poison? Then in that case, karsi. Then eat leeks. And that'll take care of that. So we got poison lettuce. We're eating radish. If you eat a poison radish, then eat leek. I don't know. I ate radishes. I ate leek. I ate lettuce. Not at the same time. I don't know what's going on over here. I literally can't make heads or tails of this, right? Rashi says, Misha ofol kofa dechama karsi, Misha ofol tznoin v'koshaloi, and it's hard for him. It's hard for him, he says. Doesn't say the same thing. Doesn't say chola. All of a sudden, it's v'koshaloi. Rashi's so precise. The first time around, the lettuce, it was he got sick. With radishes, it's just hard for him. So what do you do then? If you eat radishes and you're having a hard time, then yechel karsi, then you should eat leek. Now, the Gemara doesn't say that the first time you got sick and the second time it was hard for you. Rashi says that. Where'd Rashi get that from? Why is he saying that even? Like what's going on over here? And funny, Rashbam goes the same direction. Misha achol tznei v'koshala yechel karsi, and he says creation. Creation, we know, are leek. And then the Gemara says, by the way, in case you're wondering, there's poison everywhere. There's poison everywhere. So now I know I have poisonous lettuce. I got poisonous radishes. Leek is helpful. And now the Gemara says, kofa de chulu. What about kofa, which is found in everything? Poison in everything? What do you do then? If it's everything poison, chamimi, then bring it hot, something hot. Now the Aruch says that what does it mean, chamimi? He says, nitredes b'mayim chamen, yevi'ule mayim chamen. So the Aruch adds the word hot water. Drink hot water. But the Gemara doesn't say hot water, unless you want to say chamimi means hot water. I don't know what, I'm not sure you have to say that. Rashi does not say hot water. Rashi says, Eres shall call yerokes. OMG, what a world they lived in. There was poison everywhere. Poison in all the vegetables. What? He says, Chamin refuah lehem. Hot, heat, heat. That's the refuah. You need a heat. Use heat. Heat's going to do. Rashi does not say hot water. The Aruch says hot water. Rashi does not say. And when you look in the Rashbam, Rashbam, like the Aruch does, says, Yishtem mayim chamin. Drink hot water. But Rashi just says hot. So, what do we do now? Now it gets even stranger. Well, what do you do till they bring the heat? till they bring you the heat or hot water? Ada hachi vahachi, name hachi. Until they bring it, say this. Kofa, kofa. Poison, poison. Bug, bug. Bugs Bunny, I don't know, whatever. Dechir nalach. I know you. I know you. Uleshav bantoyich. I know your seven daughters. And I know your tamne kalosach. I know your eight daughters-in-law. And the Gemara is over. Wow. what is that? What's going on over here? It's a Gemara. We don't know. Why don't we know? We need to figure this out. Well, you know. I never got a straight answer from anybody. I honestly never got a straight answer. So I'm racking my brains. How did it become, like I said, three different interpretations right in the commentaries on the Gemara? We know for sure that there's an emphasis on the charoses is acidic. At this point, we don't hear any details about fruit. So what's put in the charoses? All we know so far is that charoses is acidic. We see it in Rashi. We see it in the Reb Simcha Vitri, who was a disciple of Rashi. And interestingly enough, Rashi and the Rambam did not compare notes. But if you take a look in the Rambam's commentary in the Mishnah, so the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos, which was written in Arabic, so I can't know with certainty what the original Arabic version said, but we have a pretty solid translation. He says, what does it mean that they bring the charoses? He says like this. Charoses, what is charoses? Who's taruvot? It's a mixture. What kind of mixture? It doesn't really matter, actually. A mixture, sheyesh bo kiyuhi. It's an acidic mixture. It has to have acidic, tart, something sharp. So Rashi, Rambam, it's clear. It has to be something sharp. So we know this is like poison, and we know this is like a bug. And how are we supposed to figure this out? Just to make the things even more interesting. So if we look in Avudarham was a physician who wrote an incredible compendium on ritual, daily ritual, and the holidays. So he has a whole pirush on the Haggadah. And in the Seder Haggadah, he says like this. You take the karpas. Karpas could be parsley, right? Could be something green. You make a butter peradama. V'toivloi b'charoses. He says you dip it in charoses. Why do we dip it in charoses? The karpas, which is a vegetable. Why? He says lahomes es hakipa. Shebiyarokis, to kill the kippah. I guess he's learning pshat like a Beinu Hananel, some kind of bug. Kill the bug of the vegetables. So now it's not poison or poison bugs that are in lettuce. It's poison everywhere. It says it. The karpas is not bitter herbs. So you have to kill it. And you kill it in the charoses. Why do you kill it? So that shouldn't harm a person. I'm like, what? You're killing a bug, so it shouldn't harm the person. Dead bugs are just as bad as live bugs, halachically speaking. You're not allowed to eat live bugs or dead bugs. How will it help you if you kill it? Kill the bugs and eat a kazayas. What's going on over here? He says, this is the way most of the Gaonim wrote, and most of the Mefarshim. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam, they said no. The first time is in chometz, vinegar. The second time is going to be in the charoses, and they bring a proof that the Mishnah says you bring the charoses later. But of course, we could argue that the charoses is taken away and brought back. We could argue that. But anyway, I mean, that's what he argues. Then later on, the Avud Aham says like this, the kippah, what is the kippah? He doesn't say what it is. Well, he just says, you got to kill it. He says, kill it, because it could damage you. Then he says, the kippah, yesh mefarshim shehi tolat. There are those, like Rabbeinu Hananel, who say that it's a bug, as we learned in Trumas. And he cites the same Tesefta as Rabbeinu Hananel. And he says, hachoymetz shebacharosis, the acidic, tart, sharp nature of the charoset, meimet hakippah shebirakis, kills the kippah. Rabbeinu Hai is one of the Gaonim. Rabbeinu Hai, he says, Perush, Iker HaKippa, B'loshna Aramis, the main word of Kippa is not a bug, and it's not a poison, but it's Aramit, and it's Milshon Kipui. What's Kipui? He says, Kigoy Neficha. In Aramis, Kipa means bloated. So he says, this is a ruach, a spirit. Sho'ochezet b'mayim, it grabs you by the stomach, and it comes from the food. And this spirit grabs you from the stomach, and it's called a kippah. Are you having nightmares yet? It jumps off the plate, it grabs your stomach, and it blows your stomach up. Shehim in afachas. It bloats you. You're going to have a bloated kishkas. And the charoisis is a sam. The charoisis is a potion. It's a poison control mixture. Shetoiredes oise ruach. It takes that spirit and it overwhelms him. It makes him so busy, he has no time to bloat you. He's busy surviving himself. And he says, V'lei ha'yugedes lahomis as a keeper. He didn't say to kill the keeper. Why kill him? Just make him busy. Keep him busy, that's all. Elitra the keeper. I mean, I'm getting more and more confused by the minute. So now, Reb Hai says, don't kill the keeper. Just make him busy. Keep him busy. Don't kill the terrorist. Make him busy. If he's busy, he can't harm you. He's too busy. He's busy locking horns with the charoisis. This is some kind of horror movie. There's like there's cartoons over here. But this is what it says. So what in heaven could be the pshat? This is Torah. Torah is always right. Everything in Torah is right. And everything in Torah makes sense. And everything in Torah, they're using language. They're using bugs. It's bugs, it's spirits, it's poison and poison-like. So far we got four definitions. And all we know is that somehow the charoisis has an acidic edge which neutralizes or diverts or kills the offensive material. I'm like Googling this. I guess I tried this, I tried that. Okay. So suddenly, this is what I figured out. And I cut and pasted from a whole bunch of different articles. One of them was updated today. Lettuce, like other foods, can be contaminated with germs that cause food poisoning. If dishes are cooked before they're eaten, it kills off the germs. Salad, usually eaten raw, increases the chance that you accidentally eat some hidden bacteria.
Listeria?
It's much more exciting than Listeria. It's E. coli, norovirus, salmonella, Listeria, and even, I think it's called Chlysophora. Five special, wonderful conditions that come from the germs. Now let's stop and think for a second. What do you call a germ?
A bug.
I have this memory. You know, my son labels a little boy. He must be like 5 or 6 years old. And one Friday night, he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's having a fit. I'm sick. My wife says, go take care of him. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm exhausted. He's running out. The kid is screaming. He's not feeling good. All of a sudden, he starts to barf, like forget about it, like there's no tomorrow. And he's bringing up. I take him to the toilet and he's... And the poor kid is so sick. And I'm like screaming to my wife from the other room, like, what is it? My wife says to me, he must have a stomach bug. The label here is, he goes, I have a bug! And he goes, nuts! I have a bug! And he starts pounding his stomach. Take out the bug, I have a bug in me. I'm like, please calm down. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't have a bug. Mommy said, I have a bug. You don't have a bug. Mommy said, you're not telling me the truth. Go explain to a five-year-old child that a bug is germs, is bacteria. You could easily use the language of antiquity to describe bacteria as a ruach. And you could easily use the term of poisoning. And interestingly, Rashbam says it's not poison, it's like poison. And guess what? It's called, in English, today, food poisoning. So why are we worried about this at the Seder? Maybe we should have charoises, we should have to walk around with a potion of charoises wherever we go. The Mefarshim asked this question. We should have to do this all the time. And it's a very interesting answer that's given. In the Leket Yosher, he brings down that a whole year we're not worried about charoises. Why? He says, because really this is not so common. By the way, it isn't so common. It's not common to get the food poisoning from lettuce. However, on the night of Pesach, we're worried that somebody is going to get sick and is going to look bad on the mitzvah. So you can soon see, I did a little research over here. There are some people who are prone to food poisoning, who are immunodeficient, who are prone to it. By the way, those people shouldn't eat raw vegetables. What's the smartest thing to do? They should make sure their vegetables are cooked. But at the Seder night, everybody has to eat raw vegetables. Cooked matzah isn't kosher. It has to be raw. Furthermore, we just talked before that in many communities, it was customary not only to eat the matzah, but before they ate the matzah, what did they do with it? They passed it from hand to hand. How much bacteria did the matzah get from being passed around? Probably a lot. So you have people who don't usually eat fresh vegetables, who don't usually eat salads, and all of a sudden they have food poisoning from the Seder. What are they going around telling everybody? Oh, Seder, I'm not going back. I got food poisoning last year at the Seder. What did you eat? It wasn't the matzah, it must have been the maror. And a mitzvah looks bad. So that's what the Leket Yosher is saying. The Koel Ramaz says another very interesting thing. He says a whole year, if somebody feels that he's getting sick, he can run for radish. But at the Seder night, you're not supposed to eat other things. And by the time he's going to go eat radish, he's going to be already good and sick. So therefore, a whole year, we don't worry about it. If you're worried about food poisoning, there is antidote to things like food poisoning. I'm reading now, straight from the internet. Leafy greens are sometimes contaminated with harmful germs. Washing leafy greens does not remove all germs. That's because germs can stick to the surface of the leaves and even get inside them. Let's go back to Rashi. What does Rashi say? Sraf hachazeres kosher v'yesh boi. It's inside. It's the sap, it's the juice inside that has the food poisoning. And Rashbam says, sraf hachazeres harehu ke'eres. So it gets inside. And if you eat contaminated leafy greens without cooking them first, you might get sick. Many foodborne illnesses are caused by germs on vegetables and fruit that people eat raw. Harmful germs include, as I mentioned before, E. coli, norovirus, salmonella, listeria, chlysopora, which is an intestinal illness caused by microscopic parasite. I can't read the next two words. People can become, or I probably read it wrong. People can become infected with chlysopora by consuming water or food contaminated with a parasite. By the way, what happens when you get these parasites?
Gas.
You get gas, you get bloated. How incredible. That's exactly what Abhay Goyen said. It's going to make you get bloated. He says what you need to do is neutralize the bacteria. It's not about killing the bacteria, neutralize the bacteria. Now, by the way, this is even crazier. There's something called wild lettuce. Wild lettuce is sometimes called bitter herb because of its sharp flavor. Wild lettuce also has a noxious or unpleasant smell and has prickly ears underneath. And it has some kind of white substance that oozes out of it. And it... People see it as pesky or dangerous. But I don't think that the worry was, I think the worry of the Chachamim was maybe that somebody would use wild lettuce. I think that the chazeres we're using today, the chasa, is the chasa. Things didn't change. How does this explain the chant? Wait, let's see. Very good. The substance commonly referred as being a risk when feeding lettuce is lactocarium. And it has high amounts of it in wild bitter lettuce. However, it is also found in ordinary edible lettuces. All edible lettuces contain very low levels of this compound. And it's very bitter. It has an undesirable trait. And it's basically been bred out of our table lettuces through selective breeding. Which means that in today's day and age, we probably don't really need the charoisis as much as you once did. Now here's the interesting thing. I Googled, is it safe to eat romaine lettuce? Because that's what we eat. Answer, according to the CDC, many foodborne illnesses in the U.S. are linked to germs on raw fruits and vegetables. That includes the whole list, E. coli, norovirus. Lettuce is one of the most common causes of food poisoning. Since the start of 2018, there have been over 10 major lettuce illness outbreaks involving E. coli. The most recent one involved salad kits that sickened at least 30 and romaine lettuce grown in Salinas, California that sickened at least 138. Last updated, March 28th, 2024. That's today. I'm like, wow, this actually makes perfect sense. It's poison, it's poison-like. It's bugs. And it's like a spirit, so to speak. How else can you deal with this? Oh, simple. Cook your food. The heat will kill the bacteria. The heat will kill the bacteria. So something incredible is that the Ur Zarua says that you should heat up your matzah right before the Seder. And why should you heat up your matzah right? He says, Toiv lefais matzah is beleil sheni shel Pesach. It's a good idea to bake matzah on the second night of Pesach, because this way they'll be warm, and it's a refuah le'eres. It's a refuah to poison. Hot matzahs are not a refuah to anything, except bacteria. It can burn off the bacteria. V'hu adin l'chol davercham. It's not hot matzah, heat. The Gemara doesn't say hot water. The Aruch says hot water. The Gemara says chamime, hot. Anything hot. Heat is a refuah, a neutralizer of eres, of this bacteria. And therefore, you should bake the matzahs. Now you think, okay, so the Ur Zarua said, he was a Rishon. It's brought down la halacha. Take a look in Simen Tof Nun Ches, in the Dark Moshe, in Simen Beis, he says very clearly, he says, V'tam ha'noigim lefes matzah belel yom tev sheni, the reason that some people have a custom of baking matzah on the second night is because of maror. Why? Because the maror has to be placed into the charoises. Why? Because of kappa. I'm going to translate kappa as bacteria. Pirush eres shalchazeres. He calls it eres. He calls it poison. That's the language they had available to them. And it says over there that kulu chamimi. So you see that Dark Moshe does not learn pshat like the Aruch. He does not follow the approach of Rashbam. The Dark Moshe, the Rambam says that the heat, not hot water, heat kills bacteria. Chamen refuah lehen. Refuah doesn't mean it's a refuah like sick. It means it's an antidote. And that's why you bake the matzah on the second night, he says. And he says, in that case, yesh lilmid mizeh, from this Ur Zarua we could learn, the toiv lishmar ha-matzah chamen, it's good to keep your matzah hot. Why? It'll save you from bacteria. Isn't that wild? Does this not make sense? So now, I'm really curious to know, okay, how does this work out? What's the story with radish? No, it's to be green. No, as your horse says, no. The compounds in radishes have demonstrated antibacterial activity. How incredible is that? Including something called pylori bacteria. When is that from? October 5th, 2022. That means what the Gemara says almost 2 centuries ago has been discovered. 2 years ago. Radishes have both antifungal and antibacterial properties. While they already detoxify the blood and improve oxygenization of our own red bloods, radishes contain proteins to control and prevent the growth of Candida albicans, a fungus normally found in humans. The enzymes in the radish are able to kill these fungi. And he goes on to talk more about the radish. I'm going to start eating radishes, I'll tell you. He says, here's an unexpected surprise. This is all recent stuff. Radishes are actually natural antifungals. And it's something that people are now trying to do if they're prone to yeast infections, to eat radishes, because it deals with bacteria. The Gemara was talking about this 2,000 years ago. Guys, this is wild. A Gemara that seemed to make no sense makes perfect sense. And it's not accurate. Shugas, ridiculous translation. Researchers have found that radishes contain capital R, lowercase s, capital A, F, P, 2. A protein that works as an antifungal. Specifically, it kills Candida albicans, a fungus that's common in humans. It also kills invasive candidiasis. Wow. It's like... Studies have shown that horseradish has an antibacterial component called allyl isocyanate. Recent studies have shown to kill harmful bacteria and microbes that result in infections. By the way, that's horseradish. And what do we eat together with our chasa, together with our lettuce? We eat horseradish, which is a bitter herb. Because you're not supposed to eat radishes, but we eat horseradishes. So really and truly, when you wrap the bitter herbs in horseradish, you don't need the charosis so much anymore, which is good because nobody really makes charosis right anymore. The charosis these days is pretty sweet stuff. Yeah. But no problem. You have horseradish. And our custom is to make a point of grinding the horseradish and wrapping the lettuce around the horseradish, both for the mor as well as the chazeres. Not to eat horseradish for one and least for the other. Parasites, fungi, viruses, bacteria cause foodborne illnesses. There are thousands of such bacteria, but apparently there's fewer than 20 that are actually the culprits. 90% of the food poisoning every year are caused by, and he gives you a whole list of about 7 or 8. These bacteria are commonly found on many raw foods. Normally, a large number of food poisoning bacteria must be presented to cause illness. And the illness can be prevented by, one, controlling the initial number of bacteria present. Number two, preventing the small number from growing. That's what Reb Chaim Gaon said. He said, you don't have to kill it. You have to keep it busy. What does it mean to keep it busy? Don't let it populate. If it's busy, it defending itself, it's not able to grow. So if you keep it small, this is unbelievable. It's exactly what Reb Chaim Gaon said. And you achieve that through proper cooking. How about leeks? What's with the leeks? So what if your radish has, then we have leeks. So I Google leeks. And I found out that recent studies have shown that leek root contains sulfur compounds that have a variety of pharmacological potential, including antibacterial, antioxidant, as well as vascular and endothelial protection. And here he goes on to say that leek is a common, widely used food ingredient. It contains a variety of bioactive substances, including sulfur compounds. And many studies, there's all kinds of, you know, good things that come from it. And he goes through a whole list of these things. And he says, the main bioactive components of biological functions of leek were recently systemically reviewed. The health benefit of leeks is not well known because leeks are rich looked at as food. There's just nobody's been looking at leeks in this way. This is like current. It is valuable to review the recent progress and provide reference to the investigators in the field, which will promote future applications and investigations of leek. If I was an investing man and I found that somebody's investigating leek now after learning this Gemara, I'd invest in leek. It's a good chance that leek is going to do something. Is this not unbelievable? Does this not make all the things that the Rishonim said make perfect sense? Ah, my friend Yitzi says, what about that business with the 7 daughters? What's that? What? Yeah, how do you? Oh. So this is a problem. But you know what the solution to the problem is? There's a joke they tell that somebody was once learns a Gemara. How do you make a boat? He learns how to make a boat. He goes, makes a boat. The boat sinks. Comes back, says, Rabbi, I did what the Gemara said. The boat sank. Did you do this? Did you do that? Do you do this? Yes. Did you do this? No. Oh, go back. He goes back, makes his boat again. After 3 or 4 times, the boat keeps sinking. He says, Rabbi, I did everything the Gemara said. And the rabbi is looking and looking and looking, and he says, Baruch Hashem. He says, what? What's the student says? Did you find the answer? He says, no, Rashi asked the same question. So here's the gewaldige thing. The Aruch, who talks about an Eiskuf, the Aruch is talking about this whole business, and he uses his unusual language, and he speaks about hot water. Maybe hot water, by the way, is another way of, an easy way to rinse or to flush the body of somebody who has food poisoning. There's a good chance that hot water actually kills bacteria. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's the case.
But isn't the stomach acids, should that do it?
For most people, it could be yes, but some people are prone to this. Here's the problem. The problem is we don't usually pass our letters around to get touched by everybody. And the problem also is that people who are prone to such infection don't usually eat raw lettuce. I don't know, once upon a time, people didn't eat raw things in general. My grandmother used to cook her apples. Ever had baked apples? Not cooked, baked apples. It's like, I never saw anybody do it these days. My bubby, it was like a basic staple. So I think people used to cook everything once upon a time. They weren't prone to eating raw things as much. That's like the newfangled stuff. You eat everything raw. I'm not sure I want to eat sushi anymore, I'm telling you. This is like a... So the Aruch says like this. He says, until now, I gave you an explanation. Okay. He says, but then the Gemara says, what do? Until they bring you the hot water to flush your system. He says, then you say to the Kafa, Kafa, I know you. I know your 7 daughters. I know your 8 daughters-in-law. Says the Aruch, Elu ein lefarshim. This do not try to explain. We don't know what this means. We don't know what this means, he says. He says, Kabbalah heim. This is Kabbalah. This is mystical spiritual stuff. It's a lachash. It's some kind of mystical incantation. She'ein loy pirush. It has no explanation. Don't even try. And he says, ubelachash, ubekamein, with things like incantation and amulets, atamaitse dvarim, ke'elu, you find all kinds of things, sha'adam medaber, that a person speaks with a stone or with a... we don't know what it means. So he says, there's ruches in the eichlin. There's spirits in the food. And we can see this, that sometimes there's demonic spirits that are connected to things. And this is the lachash. The bottom line is, he clearly says, we don't know what this means. You know what it means. And we don't even try to explain it. So I'm not going to try to explain it. All right. I'm okay, by the way. I'm okay with.
I think he was yelling for hot water.
You think he was yelling for hot water?
He was yelling. Seven
daughters, 8 daughters-in-law.
Yeah, they were to say to one of them, had to get up.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, I'm not sure about that. The Aruch doesn't learn like that. Now, the Chassam Sefer says a very interesting thing. The Chassam Sefer says in his Tshuvas that it could be that the Gemara is talking about, like, things on a literal element, but also on a spiritual element. And very interestingly, in the Lakuta Torah of this week's Torah portion of Parshas Tzav, the Alter Rebbe starts talking about this idea that everything physical has a mazel that and gives it life. And he says the word mazel comes from the term noizel, like literally like something which leaks in. It's like, it's a drip. So what happens is that everything physical has a spiritual alter ego. And what, I mean, if you look at the Chassam Sefer's words, it's almost like he's saying that bacteria has a demonic force behind it. Like destructive things in this world have a spiritually destructive thing, because the Alter Rebbe says that physical nourishment comes from a spiritual reality. There's a pecking order, a whole chain of descent, what he calls the Seder Ishtalshelos, until it becomes actualized as food that we eat. So maybe not even maybe, it's almost certain that bacteria also has this order of, and the order of the bacteria is demonic forces. So that's what a lachash helps for. What does that mean? I don't know. We say it. We don't know what that means already. That's already beyond us. The Seder, okay. If the Aruch says it's beyond us. But the rest of it is not beyond us. The rest of it, Rashi talks about, Rashbam talks about, Ben Ochananel talks about. And in my humble opinion, if you look at it this way, everything makes perfect sense. In fact, the Gemara sings off the page. Because when something is tart and acidic, it kills the bugs. And even according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says we don't dip the karpas into charoses, he says we dip it into vinegar. But that's what vinegar does. It's exactly what vinegar does. And I found that one of the things I Googled, it says, one of the suggestions is that people to wash their lettuce in vinegar. Washing lettuce in vinegar actually kills the bacteria. I forgot to print that part out, which is exactly what the Gemara is saying. You see from Rashi to Rambam, they're all emphasizing the acidic element, the vinegaric, acidic, tart element, and what's needed to make sure that the Mara goes over without anybody getting hurt. And that's why the Mishnah emphasizes Ein Bai Mitzvah. Why? Because something that you do because of danger, you don't make a bracha on. There are certain things which there are halachas that we do because of danger. If it's a danger thing, we don't make a bracha. Why not? Because it's Mishum Tzakanta. It's not as a ritual. So that's why the Mishnah emphasizes, yes, you're halachically obligated to bring it. No, it's not a mitzvah. In other words, don't make a bracha on the charoses. Al achilas charoses, the charoses is there to prevent illness and bacteria. That's take one on the charoses. However, there's another whole attitude, another whole way to look at the charoses, and as I will show you, Bezrat Hashem, in the next episode, they're not mutually exclusive. They're not mutually exclusive, but there's another, a whole opinion, which is not the Tanakhama. And very interestingly, we seem to take the second opinion very seriously. Very seriously, which is unusual. Usually the Tanakhama, the first opinion, that's the main opinion. That itself has to be understood. But Bezrat Hashem, this will be continued with God's help next week. Thank you for joining. I didn't have a chance to look at more questions. Yitzi is asking if horseradish needs charoses. It actually seems it doesn't. By the way, why should we still bring charoses to the table today? If we know all this and we wash our vegetables very well and we wash our hands and we live hygienically and the chances are vastly diminished, and our charoses is... So the answer is simple. The answer number one is we're going to learn next week that the charoses has another element to it, number one. Number two, once something became customary by Yidden, it became the minig. We did that for hundreds of years or maybe 1,000 years. So who's going to change it? This is what Jewish people do. That's what Jewish people do. That's what we continue doing. And there are many things like that, including the mayim acharonim, the water rinsing of our fingers at the end of the meal. Why do we water? Because it says in antiquity there was something called sodomite salt. And if you rubbed it into your eyes, it could cause blindness in a rare case. So therefore, we're still washing our fingers. Why? So we say there's a Kabbalistic reason also. So with the charoses, there's another, as we'll learn next week, there's other reasons also. So even though you have the horseradish and you wash your lettuce and then it's not passed around the table and all these things, despite all these things, we still continue to use our charoses. And as I said, more about this, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. Thank you so much for joining. Please like, please share, please subscribe, and let's spread the good word. Hashem's Torah is beautiful. It makes perfect sense. You just have to figure it out. And hopefully this year, we'll be eating charoses together with Morer and Matzah and Korban Pesach in the third Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira, U'B'Yameinu. Amen. Thank you. Have a great night.